Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. It was the pitch that turned everything around last night.
Kendrick into the opposite corner. That one well hit. Springer looks up, and it's gone! Howie Kendrick has delivered the Nationals a one-run lead!
And this one is gone! It hits the foul pole, and the Nationals lead! Howie Kendrick has done it again! A slicing two-run homer off the right field foul pole! Do you believe it, Howie Kendrick? Part two.
The kick in, here it comes.
Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books! The celebration is on! The Washington Nationals are the world champions! Remember where you are right now at 11:50 Eastern Time! Remember where you are on October 30th, 2019, when the Washington Nationals finished the fight from the depths of a forgettable 19-31 start. They have climbed to the top of baseball's highest peak, giving us all a finish to a season we will remember for the rest of our lives.
Do you remember where you were sitting? Or wasn't it that, was it that not that important to you?
Living room on the chair.
You remember it the rest of your life?
Don't know about that, but... But I'll never forget where I was. Yeah, let's see. Yep, on the couch in the old place, 2008, when Brad Lidge got that last strikeout for the Phillies title.
I want you to remember where you were. Very important.
Yeah.
My goodness, if you're a Nationals fan, you're sitting back and saying, I never thought this would happen.
And if they did, they're lying.
There's a good chance of that, my man. There's a good chance.
Oh, but boy, just, man, everything they came back from. I mean, they had to claw their way out of the wild card game. It's crazy.
While they were on the verge of losing it.
Yeah.
Haters on the mound. And you're looking around saying, oh, this doesn't look good. And they got out of that. They got out of everything. I mean, Kendrick hit the grand slam against the Dodgers. Like, holy mackerel. Hey. How many times have you now heard me say over the years, just get to the tournament? Then after that, we'll see what happens.
In case in point, I mean, look at the NFL in the last 15 years. I mean, I think of three teams right off the top. I mean, the Steelers were a sixth seed. The Giants were a sixth seed. Green Bay was either a five or a six the year that they beat the Steelers. Last time the Steelers were in a Super Bowl.
They were six.
Yeah.
They were six. The Steelers were a six. Just get to the tournament. Just get to the tournament. Simple as that. Once you get there, then you can figure out what, quote, damage you can do. Well, they did it. Their bullpen was awful all year. But what do? They take a page out of what you mentioned, Madison Bumgarner. He was really the exception. The Red Sox last year, when they won, all five of their starters, Eduardo Rodriguez, Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, Nathan Eovaldi. Okay. But all pitched in relief. All five guys pitched in relief. David Price took the ball. Well, last night, Patrick Corbin took the ball. And keep in mind that when the one of the key wins, we see that Strasburg's 5-0, one of those wins was in relief against the Dodgers. When you have a limited bullpen, you then start using your starters. And you mentioned Gerrit Cole earlier. He did not get used last night. But I think you have to use them in the right way. And again, I would have sent Greinke out for the seventh inning. Why? Because he was pitching really well. He was in a groove. I'd have sent him out. I'd have sent him out. And I'd have kept him in there a little bit longer. That's the only difference between what A.J. Hinch did and what I was thinking. I'd have kept him out there a little bit longer. I'd have kept him out there a batter or two just to see.
See, I would have thought if they had, like, maybe two runners on, second and third, and one swing of the bat, then they take the lead. Yeah, man, at that point, you'd give him the hook and then go. But I'd give him the hook and go right to Gerrit Cole. I mean, that's game seven. That's game seven.
No, I can't. And the reason I can't is this. That's not a situation Cole's in. Cole has to start an inning. See, this is part of knowing your personnel. He's never been in that spot where he's entered the game with runners on second and third. I mean, your guess is as good as mine as to how well he pitches there. I don't know. He's never had to do it before. That's why I'd start him in an inning. I feel like now at least it feels more natural to him as to what he does. I just don't think it's automatic. Like, I'm going to go to the bullpen and give my starter a chance. Like, when the Red Sox wrapped up the World Series last year, what did Chris Sale do? Chris Sale pitched the ninth inning. He started the ninth inning. That's, I think, what you were looking to do with Gerrit Cole last night. I don't think you were looking to go and, like, hey, a second and third, here you go. Do something you don't do. Huh? I got to do what? He'd have taken the ball. But there are other guys that, along the way, have faced that situation, and that's how they pitch and have done it all season. Just my opinion. And just because Gerrit Cole's sitting there, it's not automatic that, hey, I mean, how automatic was it a couple of years ago? Hey, we're going to hand Clayton Kershaw the ball when the Dodgers played the Astros. And Kershaw didn't come through. For every Madison Bumgarner, there's a Clayton Kershaw. You just don't know. It's one of the glories of sports. You don't know. All right, let's get to a couple of comments that were made by Jay Billis. Now, Jay Billis has been pro athlete, student athlete, getting value, and has never been crazy about how the NCAA has handled it. Okay? So, this is what he has said. I think I characterized it pretty well there. So, what the NCAA has done in the last 40 years. Call it back up here again. What the NCAA has done in the last 40 years is nothing based on principle. When the California law came out, they responded by calling it an existential threat to college sports. If you recall when I read that line, remember my reaction? Really? That it's going to ruin everything if athletes are paid. Now they, like they always do, they're reacting. They're reacting to a different state and federal government's forcing action. They're trying to stall and say, look at what we're doing. Their abandonment of any form of principle is frankly embarrassing. He goes on to say that this will allow college athletes to profit from the name, image, and likeness in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. He says, Bill has said that's bogus. He says the whole fit with the collegiate model is a made-up term for not allowing anything relevant to happen. I don't see any significant movement toward players having actual rights here. What the NCAA really means is severely limited and regulated changes with very little consequence and benefit to the players. So the NCAA has had a chance to be reactive, but instead has failed to take initiative. So the NCAA is like the retailer surprised by Christmas coming December 25th. They're sitting here now saying, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell us the holiday season was coming? They're in this position because of lack of foresight, lack of leadership, and an unwillingness to address the multi-billion dollar industry they've created. This has been coming for a long time. The state government just sped it up, and they continue to talk and doublespeak and have further inaction. If you recall, these 7 bullet points that were put out, what did I say about the first 3? I said, great, you know how much I don't like mumbo jumbo? I mean, you know, how many times you heard me say, I just don't like mumbo jumbo? Well, that was mumbo jumbo, the first 3. Then you get to the meat of it, number 4. They've done all this to themselves, and now an organization that had very little credibility to start with basically has nothing remaining. So this is what, you know, this is all Jay Billis saying, all this. Said the NCAA argued in the 80s that schools should not be put on television. It would destroy college sports. Not only did it not destroy anything, it turned into a gigantic revenue stream. And some of that money has got to go to the players. They have all these contradictions that go to the point of hypocrisy by saying it will ruin women's or Olympic sports, or there isn't enough money to go around. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. Most fair-minded people see through this. I'm fair-minded, Jay, and guess what? I'm telling you, there are going to be sports lost out of this. Now, maybe not out of image and likeness, and what, because that won't come out of the pockets of the schools. That would come out of businesses. But paying the student-athletes, now you're talking about actual athletic department budget. Jay Billis says, allow the players their economic rights as literally everyone else has in the country. Everything will be fine. The entire industry does not depend on an athlete being compensated. Every argument they've made is total nonsense. I mean, you could do this in such a way where, hey, you know, you're going to get some compensation, and guess what? You know, now out of your compensation, now you have to pay for your scholarship. Now, that's not going to happen. Because if any school did that, that would be used against them in recruiting. And that is part of, you know, that's part of this argument. You can't really take a hard line as a school and be the lone wolf here. You can't do it. If you do, it's going to be used against you in recruiting. I don't have answers to this. I'm not going to pretend to have an answer to it as to how you go about this. But you've already had some sports at certain schools drop. UCLA used to be a primary feeder for the United States Olympic gymnastics team. UCLA doesn't have gymnastics anymore. I know that some people have been something that's very positive for them has been that a positive sign in wrestling is that some NCAA programs have added women's wrestling to their athletic departments. And there are people in the sport of wrestling that have really looked at that as a positive because you're talking about numbers, commitment and so forth. Yet, let's be frank about it. And I'm not talking about name, image, and likeness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual paying the student athlete. We're going to pay them. Look at all the money they're making. Wrestling would be one that would... Penn State would not drop wrestling. No way. But you'd have to be worried that 50 other people would drop it. There's only X amount to go around. There's only X amount in the budget. Now, name, image, and likeness is a way to compensate for student-athletes to get compensation beyond scholarship, books, food, room, without the individual schools paying it. Now the question is, how do you regulate it? And I always love when I hear, well, there's no regulation. They should get whatever the market says. Okay. Sean, all of you out there work for a living. There's a lot of you probably think you're not getting what you think you're worth.
I'd say it'd be pretty much almost everybody.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so, I mean, what the market says, there's a ceiling everywhere you work as to what you can get. It's not unlimited. There's a ceiling. If you happen to be a teacher, there's a ceiling. If you happen to be a custodian, there's a ceiling. If you happen to work over at Geisinger, there's a ceiling. If you happen to work at Wise Markets, there's a ceiling. It's just that's the way it is. Now, can you attempt to change jobs and go someplace else to attempt to make more? Sure. But it's also a competitive world out there, and in a competitive world, you might not be the one that gets the job. The number of student-athletes, I think, initially that can benefit from name, image, and likeness, I think they'll come out of the gate and there'll be a bunch that will. I think as time goes, it's really going to get whittled down. Because, again, you have to have people looking around saying, is this worth it to us? Are we benefiting from this? The job of the business is to look at the bottom line and say, I'm not so sure this is working for us. Or, hey, this is terrific. It's really working for us. So it's great to have idealistic principles. But there's also going to be something realistic here. And there's another part. I think there are a couple of volleyball players that could do fine. A couple wrestlers that could do fine. There can be a couple of women's basketball players could do fine. Men's basketball players and some football players. But of the 800... student-athletes here on scholarship at Penn State, you might get 10 to 15 that really, really do benefit out of this. Beyond the, hey, we'd love to have the offensive line come down here and sign autographs here at the store, and we're going to give you a nominal amount of piece to do it. I mean, there'll be a lot of that, the nominal amounts. Or... we want to sell your jersey number. And because you wear it and you've made it popular, you deserve a cut. But we also, it's our jersey, so we deserve a cut. How do you get that? And you are going to get somebody, you will get somebody out there in this scenario that feels that they should negotiate for the players, a.k.a. an agent. Or a union. So there's a lot of avenues here to explore. It's not easy. It's not cut and dry. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This time I'll make the introduction. How about that?
Sure.
Well, I want to congratulate you on becoming a great uncle for the sixth time this morning at 4 a.m.
4 a.m., wow. Little girl?
Little girl.
It was a 50-50 shot.
It's a great way to look at it.
June Olivia Jones, born this morning to my son Dan and his wife Candace this morning at 4 a.m.
And their first one, correct?
Their first.
That's awesome.
8 pounds, 11 ounces.
Whoa.
21 inches long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You're a grandpa again. Boy, you got three a whole slew of them now. How many you got?
Six.
Wow.
Three girls, three boys.
Wow. Split right down the middle. You did good. You're virile.
I did nothing. I got a phone call in the morning. That was the extent of my participation. But
well, you did good.
Yeah, we're gonna fly to New Hampshire tomorrow. So
you're flying there. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to drive.
You're going Manchester.
Yeah, Manchester. But I'd set this up 5 weeks ago. If for example, nothing happened, we'd still be up there and visiting.
Yeah.
But I thought we'd roll the dice because this is the only time I can do this. And it turned out we're going to roll the dice and see the family. So.
Wow, you should go to Mohegan Sun then. You're good.
No, I'm not going to Mohegan Sun.
It's a birthday. That's just amazing. So.
Well, she was due today, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen today.
Oh, no.
I have experience with that. But
I've never been through it.
So, yeah, it's
I got a slew of step children, grandchildren.
Yeah.
I mean, probably like 30 of them. But I mean, they don't like me, but it doesn't matter. No, that's not right. They like me, but I mean, we're not real close or nothing. So they never come around, so which hurts my wife's feelings. But what are you going to do? You know, it's the nature of it, I guess. So.
Yeah. Well, our grandparents were
far away, and I'll tell you what, we saw more than Claire sees hers, and they're the next town over.
Yeah.
You know, busy. You know.
Well, what we try to do is, and it's not going to quite work out where everybody's together at Christmas, but everybody at some point or another will be here. And then, of course, we try to do the family vacation thing every year.
Yeah.
So we spend, you know, so we try to do things like that. And, you know, and my bye weeks this year have been, let's start with Maryland. Maryland was not a bye week, but they played Friday night.
Yeah.
Well, I helped Chris move down. Okay. I helped Chris move into his new apartment with his wife. All right. Then the next weekend, I picked up a snowblower from Mike in Pittsburgh, and I brought it up to him in Rochester on that bye week. Now this bye week's going up there. Yeah,
Pittsburgh,
his father-in-law.
Rochester?
His father-in-law. Yeah, his father-in-law had it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wow, go to Home Depot and buy one. Wow. That's a haul, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I mean, my God, that's like a 10-hour ride, isn't it?
Well, I did it in stages. I picked it up on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then drove it up Sunday. Dropped it. So I did it in two stages.
Wow. Oh. You're a good father and a good grandfather and all that. So, good. So, how would you like to be Bryce Harper today? That's got to be a hard pill to swallow.
Well, yeah, it probably is, except when he goes to his bank. So,
well, no, I get all
it probably,
that.
It probably eases the pain.
You're talking about guys that are multimillionaires anyway, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't just leave. He thought he was going to a winner, you know? And he didn't win anything in Washington. So.
Well, you know what's frustrating? The Phillies had, I think, there was so much optimism in spring training for the Phillies.
Yep. And they were in it for most of the year.
Yeah. But there was a lot of optimism, and I had said on the show, and I'll say it again, I thought they made every right move of the offseason.
Yep.
Okay? But it also tells you that despite making what I thought was every right move, that tells you how far behind they were.
And it's such a tough game, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Washington started the year, and they were, God, what? 10 games under 500?
12.
Something
12.
Like that? Yeah,
12 games
and
under.
That's just, and then,
like 19 and 31 or some number like that.
And that's why, you know, and really even all the experts and everything didn't really catch on to it, that they were the best team in baseball the last, what, 2 months?
Yeah, they had one more win than the Astros had from May 28th on.
Right. And so it was legit. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, where'd they come from, you know?
Right.
They've been playing good ball for two-thirds of the year. So.
I would say, what, right around August, Sean's about the point where we started really talking about them? Because the Phillies had a couple of key series with them, and they couldn't, you know.
Yeah, and then toward the end of the year, the Nats took care of the Phillies by the end of the season. At that point, then they won 20 out of their last 24.
But remember, they were in deep trouble in the wild card game.
Yeah.
But as I say all the time, just make the tournament. Once you make the tournament, now anything can happen. You start fresh.
Yep. That's baseball. They're the oldest team in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The average age of like 30. That's
yeah.
Pretty impressive. I'm happy for the. Strasburg?
Oh, yeah.
Because there
First
was
over.
So much pressure on him out of college, you know. You felt like, God, there's a lot of pressure on that kid. And now he's a full-grown man now, and he finally made it to the top. So good for him.
Yeah.
He was
and
unhittable.
And again, the nature of the sport, he can opt out of his contract before the weekend's over.
You think he will?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That would be the last thing on my mind. These guys kill me. They got more money than they can even spend. You know, I don't.
Well, part of it is I'm never sure who's making the decision. Is it the agent?
Yeah.
Or is it the player? I don't know.
The players don't. They're very. I don't know. I really don't know that much about it. I think they sometimes leave too much for their agents to do. I don't know. If I was Mookie Betts, I would have signed.
Right.
I don't. And a lot of people say it's his agent who pushed him.
Right.
You know, just sign and go play ball. Leave it alone. You know, Mike Trout. I'm going to sign the contract. That's it. I'm done. You know, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I mean, I'll say this about Harper. I mean, Harper knows what his paycheck is the next 12 years.
Yeah, no, money-wise, that's what they said about the
something be said for
the Giants. Who's the lineman who came over from New England?
Nate Solder.
Yeah, and everyone was saying, man, he must be kicking himself. And one of the broadcasters said, nah, his family's set for life. And the Patriots weren't going to make his family set for life. So, right. Yeah, he wants to win, but at the same time, he's making way, way more money than he would have made with the Patriots. So he can set up his entire family with the paychecks he's getting with the Giants, whether they win or lose. So.
Right.
Speaking of which, the Cowboys are playing the Giants this week.
I know.
Chalk up one for us, Sean.
Boom.
All right.
So
let's get to it.
Yeah, why don't we do that? So, Steve, we had mentioned you were 6-1 last week. Kevin and myself, we were both 5-2. So as we are heading into week 11, the King is sitting pretty, 44-30. Stefano, you are 31-31, and I'm still 8 behind Kevin, 36-29. So here is...
I'm 31-31.
41-31.
Oh.
Did I say 30? I'm sorry, 41-31. So if I said that, if I said 31-31, I apologize. 41-31.
And I'm...
You are 44-30. And
so
I am 36.
What's Steve's?
Steve is 41-31. I am 36-29. So you lead me by 8, and you lead your brother by 3.
Yeah, but Steve's adds up to 72. Mine adds up to 74.
I think those, so those other two are wins for me, so I'm 43-31.
No. Yeah, something's not right.
Yeah, you're right. I jipped 2 out somewhere.
And yours adds up to 65.
Wow. And I put you in charge of this year.
Okay.
Man. Actually, you keep track of all of it, right?
I was keeping track of it up to, and then it went a little bit haywire. I'll text you and let you know what my numbers equal. I didn't add up last week's.
Okay.
But up to the week before, I was pretty close, and I've got them written every week up to that.
My only concern is I used a notebook last year. This year I've been writing them on separate pieces of paper, and I've been throwing some of them out. So
right.
I may have botched this up pretty bad.
So last week I got that. Steve was 6-1, 5-2, and 5-2.
Yeah.
I'll add them up and I'll text you.
Okay. All right.
I've got each week.
Thank God this is just for entertainment purposes only. So. All right, so I guess we're going to kick 8 out. You sent the list out to us yesterday, and I was just kind of wondering why we left out Patriots,
Well, I just
Ravens.
Didn't think you guys cared about the Patriots.
I don't.
So we'll do 8.
I don't on a personal level, but I think it's been one of the best games of the whole weekend. So, and
yeah,
with it being a Sunday night primetime.
It's very interesting.
So we'll sneak that one in. So 4 college and 4 pro. All right.
Yep.
World's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville on Saturday. We've got Georgia and Florida.
Who's first?
Since you're leading, why not you?
I hedged back and forth and took Florida.
Whoa. I've got Georgia.
A lot of people have been picking Florida this week. I still think Georgia is the better all-around team by a little bit. And I think playing a backup quarterback still is not the best route to go for Florida. I mean, they have no choice. I'm going to go with Georgia.
It bothered me the way that wasn't it South Carolina who took them out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it with their third-string quarterback.
Yeah, that's what changed my mind, and I went to Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So how about this? The AAC is going to be in prime time on ABC on Saturday night with SMU traveling to Memphis.
I like SMU a lot. They're a good football team. SMU.
I'm going to go with Memphis.
Wow. I thought this week everybody would take the same ones. Okay. Steve-O.
I'm going to go with Smoo. Okay.
Smoo it is. It's going to be a good week. Okay.
All right, Pac-12. The Oregon Ducks at the Coliseum to take on USC.
I got Oregon.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going. This is a tough one for me.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I'm not totally sold on either team. And because I'm not sold on either team, I'm going to take USC.
Hmm.
You got it. It's a good pick. USC's tough this year.
Well, what's the competitive? When they lose, it's
a good game.
What's the aspect or two of Oregon's game that that has this one so baffling that it may not be a slam dunk?
The what?
Like, what's an aspect or two of Oregon's game that's kind of keeping this one?
Believe it or not, I don't think their receivers are really that great. And I think USC's receivers are terrific.
The only thing I've seen with Oregon, they can be inconsistent. You know, they can play a bad quarter, you know. And you wonder, where's the explosiveness? And then they explode. But it's not the same typical Oregon team either. Okay.
Virginia Tech at the Indiana Vatican.
Very interesting game. Went back and forth, and settled on Notre Dame because they're just bigger and more physical.
I also have Notre Dame. They just had a really rough week last week, and I just don't see two in a row from them.
Yeah, the weather was really bad last week, too. Yeah.
Really?
Hi, you're preaching and the choir's right over here in State College.
Okay, I will say this. Right? You're married to a Claire. I want to, again, for the second time this week, okay, salute Claire in East Lansing. When Jack looked at her underneath the stadium and said, could you give the two of us a ride to the bus? We're like, oh, this was great. But the softest broadcast team in America.
I should have asked you this.
By the way, I'm picking Notre Dame, by the way.
En route to the bus, you didn't pass McGloin, did you?
But McGloin walked from the locker room over.
Okay.
Right, he'd suffered enough.
Right. I was going to say, if you guys whipped past him in the golf cart to the bus.
That would have been cruel.
That'd have been like, well, you know, he's the rookie.
Yep.
All right, on to the pros for Sunday. The Vikings at the Kansas City Chiefs.
I got the Vikings.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
They're playing pretty well.
The Chiefs are anywhere near the same team without Mahomes. Although, what's his name? He played pretty well last week.
Moore did play well.
Yeah.
Matt Moore did play well.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go with the Vikings.
The 2-5 Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos.
Oh, my goodness. Denver. This game is just bad.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. It's a sideline. When you're trying to pick which games to put, there's no good teams in the NFL.
No.
There's like four, you know?
No.
And it's like, you're going down the list who's playing who, and they're saying all these top teams, well, the combined record of, you know, the teams they played is, you know, 5-15 or something. That's because they all stink.
Yeah.
Every good team, you can say that. The teams they're playing are all under 500. There's about five or six really good teams, and after that, there's not even mediocre teams. They're just not good.
Look at it this way. We could be picking Jets-Dolphins on Sunday.
Bro, my God, brutal.
Well, I considered it.
Brutal. I mean, oh, my goodness. Neither team knows how to take a knee. They never win. All right, so.
And their coaching's horrible. Look at what Cleveland did last week. I watched the game. I mean, did you hear what he did? The coach? It's fourth. There's like 3 minutes left in the game. It's fourth down. They don't get a first down, and they're on New England's 20-yard line. So he sends the punting team out, right?
Yeah.
And he purposely
so he could get a timeout. He didn't want to waste a timeout. He purposely takes a delay of game penalty to move it back 5 yards. Then he puts the offense back on the field. Now they're on, now it's 4th and 15 instead of 4th and 10, and the Patriots sacked the quarterback, and that was it. That was the game.
Well,
I mean, what head coach does that?
That's Freddie Freddie Kitchens, that's who.
No, my God, Belichick's over there like, holy cow, this is really easy.
I think we got this guy. All right, I rode the Browns early, big mistake. So we'll continue the mistake. I'll pick them at Denver.
After your lovely diatribe about Freddie Kitchens, I, too, am also taking the Cleveland Browns.
Are you really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. This is good. Okay.
Denver's a mess.
Yeah. They're not much better. Oh. I don't like the quarterback for Cleveland at all.
No, no, I don't either. I think he's massively overrated.
He is way
nowhere near
overrated
as good as,
and
as he thinks
too full
he is.
Of himself. And
yeah.
What do you think? What's his name? MRJ, the receiver there.
Oh, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah. What do you think he's thinking now? He's looking at Daniel Jones over at the Giants and thinking, man, that guy could hit me all day long. You know.
Yep.
And he's having a bad year. This guy can't get him the ball. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who are you taking?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Denver.
Okay.
I think Cleveland's a joke. I think if even if they're going to, it looks like they're going to win, the coach will screw it up.
Yeah.
Browns
tell them to take a knee with 5 minutes left or something stupid.
Stay in Pittsburgh and in Baltimore and in Cincinnati, Brown's going to Brown. So. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned the Kev, Odell Beckham Jr.'s former team a few moments ago. So let's.
I could not resist this game.
No. All right. The Monday Nighter, the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium to take on. Yes, Steve. Yes, Kev, your New York Giants.
I got Dallas. Steve, who you got?
I'll go last.
Okay.
Man. Now I'm kind of torn on this, and I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be. We'll go with the Cowboys. Well, I almost pulled the trigger there. Cowboys.
Wow, that would have shocked me. Steve, I already filled it in.
Yep.
I'm going to pick the team from Arlington.
You're taking Dallas?
Yes.
Are you really? You're going for the win?
Wow.
Holy moly!
Let me double check the equipment here. What?
Yeah, you always said you would never take the Dallas over the Giants, no matter what. I wouldn't have put the game in. Okay, Dallas.
Wow. Okay, and Patriots
and the big one.
And Patriots
I got
Ravens.
New England.
You got New England?
Yep.
I think this is going to be actually a terrific game.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson cannot play against this defense.
Yeah. New England's strength
New England.
Is their defense this year.
New England. That's the best defense I've seen in the NFL since the 85 Bears.
Absolutely.
I'm taking the Ravens.
For real.
I've got the Ravens. Off night for the Patriots.
You got it. Okay, guys. Have a great weekend. Have a safe trip, Steve.
Thanks.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.